first session here.
All right, good morning. Hi, I'm Emil Cabot. I'm an MVP in cloud and data center management. Originally from Newfoundland, I now live in Calgary like the rest of us. I've been in IT for 20 odd years. I'm on my third year now as an MVP. So it's been pretty recent. A lot of work growing up for it. We are presenting this online live on channel 9. So we have people signed in there that are going to be asking questions. So that's why we have Dave here in this room today. We're going to be doing that for the entire track. You guys are not recorded, just FYI. So if you have questions, let us know and we'll probably repeat them. So we're going to go through an introduction today of Operations Management Suite. How many people in here have seen OMS before? Okay, how many people in here have used Azure before? Okay, how many people in here have used Office 365? Okay, there we go. That's the amount of hands I was looking for. So OMS is what we call a freemium solution by Microsoft. And by freemium, back in the day, we used to call them shareware products, right? They're going to give you just enough goodies to make you want to use the product. And then there are...
You're good. You're just on the deck now.
Oh, and then there are... Thanks.
If we do this or this, that's what I want you to sound.
And anyway, then there are paid options, right? So typically, one of the easiest things to mention out of the gate is on the free plan for OMS, you get 7 days of heuristical data, right? So that's fine for alerting and monitoring and stuff like that. But if you really want to get into some good capacity planning and then to find out what your environment is going to look like in 6, 8, 12 months from now, you need that heuristical data to go by. So there are plans to go into that, and we'll look into that a little bit later. Okay, so OMS is a cloud-based solution. It's all web-driven. The beauty about OMS is that it's platform agnostic. We can use OMS if we're running Microsoft workloads, if we have things in Amazon Web Services. If you have a private cloud as well, you can connect that into OMS. Anybody here use System Center Operations Manager in your environment? So OMS plugs into SCOM as well and gets lots of extension you can get when you integrate those two components. So OMS, first and foremost, it's very, very simple. The URL is www.mms.microsoft.com. You go there, you sign up, and you get a dashboard. On the dashboard, there's a little spot to download an agent. You download the agent, you put it into your server, and that's pretty much where we get started. Onboarding is fast. I have done this session a couple of times. The first time around, we actually went through and did the whole creation of the process in a 5-minute lab. So it's really, really quick to get set up. You can use your organization's credentials. You can use your live credentials. Very easy to integrate. Like I said, there's an agent for a lot of stuff. We have Linux agents, Windows agents. There are a lot of components in there that will tie into your Active Directory or your SQL servers or whatnot and gain a little bit of extra insight from there. We'll look into that a little bit later. And as I mentioned a minute ago, it does tie into OMS, or sorry, into SCOM. So MaaS is Management as a Service. And as it mentions, it's for hybrid and open systems. Microsoft has done a very, very, very great job over the last 4 or 5 years of enveloping that open source community. PowerShell is now open source. All the documentation for Azure is up on GitHub. All the scripts and automation that we do inside of OMS automation, those scripts are available on GitHub. So we can download them. We don't need to recreate all of these things from scratch. Use the developers and the guys that are really good at it and download and tweak. So the four main areas of Operations Management Suite, we have log analytics, automation, availability, and security. So Log Analytics is really taking a lot of that data back into OMS and manipulating that and giving you results out of it. From the automation perspective, for the System Center guys in the room, think of Scorch in the cloud, right? So you're going to be running runbooks to automate, you know, tasks, be they a regular occurring thing like every Friday we have to do X, or a remediation action. So if something happens in the environment, make sure this happens. Availability, Azure Backup, as well as Azure Site Recovery, we do a lot of monitoring of both tools through OMS, and we'll look into that a little bit after. As well as security, and there's a couple of guys in the room that I was just having breakfast with, and I was mentioning the first time that I set up OMS in a user group meeting, the security solution had just came available. So we popped in, we installed it, and we went back and we finished our lab. And when, just before the session was done, we went back into the portal and took a look at the security note. And I'd found out that somebody was trying to brute force my domain controller. I didn't know. They weren't successful at this point, but it was only a matter of time, right? And so I was able to determine within, you know, a matter of a minute or two, having never looked at the solution before, a minute or two, finding out that the attacker was coming from China. He was hitting my Azure domain controller, and he was doing everything over port 3389. One of the things when you create a virtual machine in Azure is it asks you if you want remote connection from the public, right? If you say yes, it opens up port 3389. This exploiter obviously knew that, and that's why he was trying to hit my virtual machine on that port. Once I changed my port, I've never seen an alert from him again. Log Analytics, perfectly frank, this goes over my head. Big data is really, really cool. The stuff that you can do with big data is absolutely amazing. I've got a buddy in Calgary that does a lot of big data and log analytics, and they're working with a telecom provider right now. And it's a new and emerging telecom provider, so they're gauging interest in communities that they're working in. And the system that he uses actually pulls analytical data, not just from their website so that they can tell where people are coming from, but based upon the information inside the metadata that goes into that site, they're able to actually tabulate that back in through social media. So not only can they find it if there's people in an area that are hitting their website, but they can also tie into LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook and actually see if people in the communities are talking about their products. So that's really, really good for these guys because it's really, really in the early stages. This is more of a reading slide. integrated search. So the search capability inside of OMS is very, very deep. It gathers probably more data than anything else I've seen. And that's the reason why these solutions are cloud-driven, just because the massive amounts of data that they store, you realistically wouldn't be able to do it. You'd have to have your own data center just for monitoring. So, of course, the beauty of it is not just all this data comes in, but you can get full analysis out of it. The graphs are pretty cool, and that's about as far as I'm going to go into. The dashboarding is great. We know organizations that actually use the OMS dashboard as their NOC monitoring tool, right? Because you can go in, drill into various components of OMS, and let's say that we want to get up-to-date information on our dashboard of 80 account lockouts, as a perfect example. We can pin that to the dashboard and get them here in the list. Solution packs is probably the biggest part of OMS. For the couple of guys in here that's worked with Operations Manager, the biggest problem that we've had with Ops Manager for years is something that's known as a management pack, right? It's a collection of rules and default alerts or alarms that we would typically use for, let's say, Exchange Server. The problem with management packs was as soon as you went and turned on that management pack, you got about 5,000 alerts that really didn't mean anything to your environment. So it took a lot of tweaking to get these things to work right. Solution packs work just the opposite. You plug them in and they sit there, and as soon as something pops up, it'll show in. It will go through, analyze the data based on the agents that you've got deployed, as well as it'll tell you if there's anything else that you can do to leverage more, get more data into the system. There are a few screens here on some solution packs. Rather than talk about them, I'll sooner get into the demo. Does that sound better? Yeah, we don't like PowerPoints, eh? Okay, so Active Directory assessment, SQL assessment, change tracking, automation, reduce errors and boost efficiency. Of course, by utilizing Runbook Gallery, you're able to automate tasks that frequently occur. So this is really big for that IT generalist guy, right? The guy that has 50 different hats and he's got 400 different things to check every day just to make sure everything is working. Question? Oh, that's you. Yeah. Right, so one automation to rule them all, and this is really the message that that Microsoft is getting at now, is that despite the solution that you have on-prem, Microsoft has a solution to monitor it, for the most part anyway. Some automation scenarios, some examples of things you could use OMS automation for. The runbook wizard inside of OMS, you can create it in four ways. So textual authoring, there is a library where you can plagiarize content. I've never done that before. No PowerShell guys in the room? They have testing capabilities, so you can actually test that your script is going to work before you blow things up. And they also have graphical authoring, which I love. I was a big Visio guy for a long time, and when System Center Orchestrator, or Scorch, as we affectionately call it, came out, we had the ability to do this. Right? So graphical authoring is pretty cool. I can take a little block that says execute and drag it into the window, and then go in and tell it what I want that action to do. And at the end of my runbook, I have a full flow diagram of effectually what I want my activity to do. Availability. So availability inside of OMS is focused around two solutions. One is Azure Backup. The other one is Azure Site Recovery. Azure Backup as a tool itself is pretty good because it's very lightweight. It backs up to Azure, and you can utilize the Azure backup inside of the majority of the big backup solutions these days. So Veeam, for example, is a sponsor here today. With Veeam, you can add Azure as a backup repository, right? So you can back up your workloads directly to Azure, or you can ideally create a local backup and then copy that backup up to Azure for your 3-2-1 rule. Azure Site Recovery is Microsoft's Azure DR tool. It is exactly what it sounds like. You can, when a site goes offline, we can recover it, right? If anybody's worked with failover clustering before, the process is very similar, right? You're going to initiate a failover. You can plan it or not. What is interesting about ASR is not only is it the recommended DR solution for Azure, but it's also the recommended solution to move your workloads into Azure. So if you have physical machines today, virtual machines running Hyper-V, or even if you're still on VMware, we use ASR to move those workloads, right, into Hyper-V or into Azure. Protect your workloads and applications. Again, as I mentioned, it's going to back everything up to Azure. Your simulated failover will give you the ability to test that site recovery solution so that you don't need to wait for 180 kilometer an hour winds in Newfoundland to test out if your site's going to go down or not, or come back up rather. Recovery cloud backup is ultimately the same thing. Long-term retention, the biggest point to mention here is this one, right? You can have 99 plus years of data retention inside of Azure. Anybody ever try to do that with a tape? It's not going to work, right? Your tape's going to die. That's one of the beauties about using cloud storage, is make sure your data is good, make sure your data is there. That's all we need to worry about, and make sure you don't delete it, right? But once it's there, it's there. It's going to work. It's going to be protected so that you can be sure that your data, I mean, who's going to really back up your data for 99 years, right? But still, the capability is there if you want it. Security, I mentioned. Security-related events, perform forensic audit and breach analysis. I'm not sure what my security tool is going to show me today, because a couple of weeks ago I deployed a whole bunch of agents to a whole bunch of workstations to try and get some good data in here. So we're going to go take a look at that after and see what it shows us. There is a malware assessment in here, which ties in, and it's actually pretty neat. It'll go through and give you some good threat analytics. It's nothing like the Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection that we're going to go through this afternoon, but it's a good dashboard for your antivirus. Update analytics and upgrade analytics are two new solutions that have been added into OMS since I've done this last. So we're going to look into update analytics a little bit. Anybody here heard of WSUS, Windows Server Update Services? Everybody love it? Yeah. OMS is the new way. So this is the way that things are going right now. We're looking at, you go out now and do searches on the internet, and you're looking for a lot of comparisons. You're going to see a lot of comparisons now between Configuration Manager patching and patching through OMS. So we'll take a look at this after too. It's pretty neat. Along with update analytics, there's also another solution in there called upgrade analytics. Upgrade analytics is designed to help you with your major Windows upgrades, right? So if you're going from Windows 7 to Windows 10, Windows 8.1 to Windows 10, you're on Windows 10 and you want to go to Creators Update. Upgrade analytics will analyze your system, and you don't need to deploy agents to these, which is really important. It'll actually use the Windows event telemetry data that's uploaded to the Microsoft Global Internet. And it uses that data to determine if your machine is a good candidate for that upgrade, right? So what it'll do is it'll go through, it'll analyze your software, and if there's a problem with your software, it'll put it out. And it'll say, okay, this machine is not recommended for upgrade at this time because it has X installed. And then you click on X, and it'll tell you exactly what the problem with the application is and what the resolution is if there is one. Now, the resolution may be to uninstall the application or install an update. A lot of times, it'll actually go in, it'll tell you that there's an error, and then when you drill down, it'll say, yeah, but we fixed it. So don't worry about it. Hey, we got to the demo. Have we had any questions online, Dave, from our millions in attendance?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Not yet. We have three people watching still.
Three people. Wonderful.
It's early.
It is early.
We actually had people that asked us about the live streaming show, and they're coming from all over the world. So there's no time zone borders here. So we got people tuning in at like 3 o'clock in the morning, some places that they are. So. Cool.
Okay, so here's the OMS dashboard. This is as I've created it. So you can click on any one of these things. Before we get into everything else, right away we see that under my AD assessment here, it's assessed one of my servers. It's passed 103 checks. And it has 5 low priority recommendations. So what's the difference between a low priority recommendation and a high priority recommendation? So we'll go in here and look. And then if we see over here, there's a weight that's assigned to every item. And these weights are defined based upon some crazy algorithm that I couldn't understand. Yes?
Is this the free?
This is free, yes. Okay. So in my OMS environment, I have an automation account that I pay for, which is about $5 a month. Other than that, everything in here is free. So there's our weighting, and then if we scroll over here, perhaps, there we go. It's going to give us the recommendation. I'm sure you guys in the back can't see that, but it says your root PDC emulator is not set to use a network time protocol server. NTP issues are bad. Yes?
What does that $5 a month get you with the automation?
It gives you an automation account. So in order to do any automation actions, you need to have an automation account and you need to have a storage account associated with it.
Yeah.
Yes?
Can you just make sure you repeat the questions?
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, the question was... What does $5 get you? Thank you, Dave. Okay, so let's go down here and take a look. If we go over to settings and we go to connected sources, here we have, oh, I'm not going to do that because that's forgetting I'm live. Anyway, you go in there and it's got a little link where you download an agent. That agent is generic. So there's also a account key and encryption key there. So you populate both of those into the installer and then just next finish and let it go. It connects up. The...
Is the installer an MSI file?
Yes. Yes. The question was, is the application an MSI file so that we can deploy it and script it out? It is, yes.
And how heavy is this on a machine?
How heavy is this on a machine? I don't have the data for that. It's pretty lightweight. Yeah, do you know, Philip? Okay, so here's the solution gallery. And one of the things they added last year was over here on the far left. Rather than scroll through the growing list of solutions, you can select automation and control, for example. And then by clicking that, it'll go ahead and deploy the solutions that are required to give you automation and control. Yes? Yes, absolutely. So the question was as if there are any limitations to the free version. Some things in here, the automation account for a perfect example, you can't use an automation account without paying. I think it's like $2 a month, but you have to pay for that. The biggest thing with OMS and the free thing is the amount of heuristical data you get. So right now, if you see up here on the top right, my data plan is free, right? And there's my daily upload limit of 500 megs of data. So across all of my agents, I'm only allowed to upload 500 megs of data to OMS from all of these machines. Once it hit 500 megs, it's going to stop. The other one is the retention period, and this is the most important one, right? Is right now, we're only going to get a week of data. If we're doing any kind of capacity planning or any type of budgeting, we need to have at least a good 6-8 months or a year of heuristical data to see where we're going.
That upload limit, have you hit it?
The 500 meg upload limit?
What does that actually get you for data? Like, is that 15 minutes of logs or is that like... No.
No, I have, I think, 6 machines connected into Azure or into OMS right now. I have not hit it.
Okay.
Yeah. You'd need to do some pretty heavy deploying to get to that amount. Yeah, or turn on some big solutions that gather a lot of data. Right, if you put on 50 Citrix or 50 SQL servers, big SQL servers, SQL clusters, yeah, you might, right? Let me see. The question is what's the difference between free and not? Here's the OMS pricing data sheet. I am not a Microsoft licensing expert, and I don't claim to be. But there we go. That's month, yeah.
Do you know if these can be purchased individually, or do you need, or is it like levels?
No, you can go individually. And a good way to do it is to work with your cloud service provider. Who provides you with your licensing, and talk to them and let them know exactly what your plan is. And you know, okay, I'm looking at OMS. I want to get some capacity planning so that we can get ready for 2020, right? 2020 is going to be a big year for hardware. So we're going to want to make sure and find out how we're using our resources today to effectively plan for that. That's worth the money, right? So here's our solutions gallery, and this is cool. So just to give you an example here. So when I first did this presentation about maybe a year and a half ago, here, this was what we had for solutions. And then since then, they've expanded it just a little bit. Okay, so what's this? Network performance monitor. So if I click on this, it tells me what it is. Gives me a little brief overview, and then it gives me the option to hit the button that says add. So let's hit add. That's it. It's installed. Pretty good, hey? That wasn't too hard.
Now will that push out the rest of the agents that you have on your network?
Yes. Yeah. For the most part, there are some things that use different processes. Some things use telemetry data, where other things use information from the agents. It will specify inside of the... Actually, here, look, here's a perfect example, right? On Azure Automation, it says I need to enable hybrid workers for my automation account, right? It's not going to work until they finish it. I have a... does anybody here have a subscription to MSDN? Whether you know it or not, with your MSDN subscription, you get $190 a month in Azure credits to play with. Inside of that $190 a month, I run two domain controllers. I run my OMS environment. I back up three servers. I do ASR for my home network. And I think I have a couple of other things in there as well. And I burn about... maybe $120 a month with that. So that's a Gen 1 and a Gen 2 domain controller. I've got gateways connected. So Azure works just like one of my other sites. So if you guys aren't leveraging that today, go into your MSDN subscription, turn it on. It's $190 a month to play with. So let's go take a look at update analytics. So if I scroll over here, I see that my Hyper-V server here is missing a couple of patches. And it's definition updates. Then over here, I've got manage update deployments. And now I'll go add. I'll select the computers that I want to I'll add my Hyper-V server. I'll add the three of them. Okay. Now we're going to schedule it. Once 9:32 a.m., I want my update to run for a maximum of 60 minutes. That's about it, right? Remember, Microsoft has changed a lot of their patching solutions now. You don't get the ability to selectively pick and choose the patches that you can apply. You're either out of date or you're not at a date, right? If there's patches that need to be applied, you're going to tell them to apply. You're not going to say which ones. Question?
The patching piece you show right here is all part of the premium package?
Yes. Yeah. Crazy, hey? Question is this part of the free tool? It is.
I noticed that you can schedule this. Now, I have laptop users, so they're in and out of the office all the time. Does it have to be on my network to say update me, or can it be out anywhere?
No, it can be out anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of OMS, is regardless of where your machines are, they're connected, right? As long as you're connected to the internet, you're connected to OMS. So now we typically run this through and watch it patch, and it takes not too long. What else do we have in here that's cool? Time check? Okay. Any database people in here? Nope, okay. Wire data. Shows my traffic information, shows my biggest hitters on the network, shows where they go, shows what applications, what protocols they're using. Some of these I can drill down into. To give me more information. I have to be a little careful here about what I'm doing because there are some secure things that are shown on my screen, and although you guys are great, I don't know who else is watching.
What kind of data is that capturing? Like what they're doing,
That's wire data. This is just like low level. It's no analytics. It's no as far as what applications they're downloading and stuff like that. It's just a matter of connectivity. What else do they have in here that's pretty cool? Oh, where's the security one? Change tracking? Anybody here in an organization of less than 5,000 people? Yeah, change tracking is a pain for you guys, right? This makes things really, really easy. All you do is press that little button in there that I showed you earlier that says add, right? We just need to make sure that we've got our agents deployed. And now we can go through, and I can see that on Hyper-V1, there has been 23 software changes. So I can click on that, and I can actually see what's been done on my machine. And I just patched it.
And who?
And who? Yeah. Let's see if I can drill into here. There's got to be a who. It'd be kind of stupid to not have a who. agent health, obviously. Upgrade readiness, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago. Upgrade analytics. I have nothing here. Right? So it's actually going to tell me how to get this all set up. What I've got to do is I've got to use group policy to tell my Windows clients when they send their telemetry data up to Microsoft to append our name. And then it'll get sucked into our OMS portal. So quickly, I don't have a lot of time left. So this is the one that really freaked me out when I set it up the first time. Thank you. So here's our full security audit. No critical errors right now. I've got four warnings, right? There look like there's a cross here, right? I've got SQL assessment turned on, so it's pulling in my SQL. I'm using my Ray Laser to point at the laptop, right? It's also found an AD vulnerability from my AD assessment tool. That's another cool one as well. I only got a minute left. But the AD assessment is another free tool. And prior to OMS, Microsoft didn't publicly provide any solution for you to be able to test Active Directory. You needed to go through Microsoft Consulting Services or your PFE in order to get a good health check. So this has been huge. Any questions before we go? Yes. I don't think so. No, it just stops. It just stops collecting data for the rest of the day, and then at 12:01 it resets again. The question was, can we tell how much of that 500 megs we're using? Anyone else? Nothing online?
No, the only thing that came in online, Emil, was that you did an amazing job. That was our very first live stream ever to Channel 9, first session. And thank you very much. You did a fantastic job. And with that, we're just going to take and we're going to